Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Thank you for joining me. My name is Chrissy Hodges, and I'm the host of Mental Illness Matters Radio here at blogtalkradio.com. Today I want to talk about something that I've really been focusing on this month especially. It's about how difficult the holidays can be for individuals who are managing a mental illness. This is a topic that's pretty near and dear to my heart. I typically have a tough time in December as well, just a lot of trauma that happens, but also there's several factors, I think, that play into why the holidays can make things a little bit more difficult. I've talked to several people this year that have just said they're just counting the days until the calendar rolls over to 2016, so it can just be over, mostly during the holidays. I brought in one of my good friends and colleagues who is going to talk about this topic as well. She is Margaret, who Sisson has been on before many times, and she's going to bring kind of the parent perspective when it comes to managing mental illness in the holidays, and I'm going to bring the child perspective. Obviously, I'm not a child anymore, but I was. But as a child, when I was experiencing mental illness, some holidays were a little bit more difficult. We had a few technical issues before, but this is working now. Margaret, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Yay!
Yay!
So there is a little bit of a delay, Margaret, but I know we're gonna have a lot to say, so we'll make do. Why don't you kick us off, Margaret, and just give us, Margaret and I talked about how we're just going to kind of bring our own perspectives and then go into a few questions that people may need answering for the holidays. So talk a little bit about the struggles that that you face as a parent of someone with a mental illness during the holidays.
Yes. I mean, I think, the holidays, everybody, it's such an anticipation, whether it be Thanksgiving or Christmas or the two big holidays of the year. And as a parent, and most of you know that my son struggled with OCD and addiction, and I lost him over a year ago. So these holidays are even worse for me as a parent. I've got that perspective, and then I've just got this perspective of living for a long time with that. I think you set traditions and you have traditions, and I want all listeners to know that it's always okay to change traditions. I'm finding that now in my life that maybe traditions need to be changed, and that's okay. As a parent, you obviously want the best for your children and your whole family, and sometimes we put ourselves up on this, not a pedestal, but a ledge that because everybody expects us to make everything perfect. That doesn't happen. And sometimes we have expectations, and those expectations aren't met, and then we get upset and anger, and there's all kinds of emotions that go through it. So I want parents to know that it's okay to not follow a tradition, and it's okay for you to have to walk away a little bit, maybe get some time for yourself, and you just have to not set up expectations that you don't think you can follow. So that's just a little bit, Chrissy.
Give us an example of what you mean by tradition. So, I could think of 1,000 in my own life, but give us an example of what that might look like.
Well, I think you have, some families might have a church tradition that they go to church, every Christmas Eve, or some families have you meet with only certain certain family members, or you open presents at a certain day or time. you know, you have to have the Christmas tree, you have to have the decorations this way. I mean, there's so many traditions that, and not that traditions aren't okay too, but sometimes that, and I use my example now, that traditions for me are very difficult because my traditions included Riley. And now that he's gone, that's really hard. So, I say, like, say for church, you know, sometimes that's so stressful to get everybody, the family members and everybody there, and everybody has to get dressed and everybody has to get there. And you know what? It's okay. If that, maybe this year you don't go to church this year, and that's okay. If that's one of your traditions, because sometimes it becomes more stressful, and that's not the reason. That's not the reason you're going to church. So it's right. Okay to say, you know what, this year we're not going to do it. We'll look at next year. So right. That's kind of some examples I see as tradition.
And I think, I think to build on that, once someone, you know, I can think back on my own experience, once someone is diagnosed with mental illness, so I can only use myself as an example, but, you know, I struggled with my mental illness for 12 years before I knew what it was. So when I think back on those 12 holidays and just the misery that presented, and, you know, some holidays just get me through this, I'm suicidal, I'm so miserable. And then after diagnosis, to kind of have to revisit the same scenario mm-hmm. every single year because it's quote-unquote a tradition.
Right.
It's just trauma over and over, reliving trauma and reliving those horrible feelings of fear. And it's one of the reasons why whenever the holidays approach, I just think, I'd like to check out to the Bahamas because I don't want to see the lights. I don't want to have to sit around the Christmas tree and open presents because of all the many times that I had to do it and I was so sick. So that, you know, that's just building on yours. Like sometimes for people who have suffered with mental illness, tradition is reliving trauma. And that's something
right.
that I think people don't think about and, you know, maybe think, well, whatever, just get over it. No, you actually can't get over it. I mean,
right.
You can, but why would you want to make someone?
Right. And that as a parent, you know, as a parent, you set up from the time your children are young, you right or wrong, you set up traditions, and that just becomes a part. And some of it's wonderful. Now, then I remember the year that Riley was in the OCD Institute, trying to get help, and he wasn't with us for Christmas. And then those traditions were sad. Sometimes now those traditions are sad for me, especially now that he's gone. We had nice traditions, and we had happy times, and, you know, I don't want to say, because Christmas often was a nice thing when my children were young and, you know, enjoyed it. And but things happen in our life, and things change, and so that's what's hard is when things do change. If everything's going okay with your traditions, that's great. And if you struggle with the mental health and you are, and that's, like you said, Chrissy, if that's hard for you, then by all means, it is so okay not to follow those traditions. And like you say, maybe you do go to the Bahamas, or maybe you do go do something that's just different and you enjoy friends and you enjoy people that you want to be around. And then maybe you start some new traditions that do make you happy and do give you pleasure and aren't as traumatic to you.
Right. And I mean, I think that a way of gauging that, and you know, we can move kind of on to another question that Margaret and I discussed is talking to, you know, talking as a family, and you know, a lot of times, you know, I'm gonna put it this on the parent, but a lot of times it, if it is because, you know, a parent does want to establish traditions and does want to, you know, just create that environment of being able to have the family look forward to the same things every holiday, just so you can remember it and then pass those things on. But here's the thing. If your child or someone in your family is experiencing trauma from mental illness, I would say if you're the one pushing that tradition, ask that person. Pause.
Absolutely. That's the best advice, Chrissy.
Yeah.
Best advice.
Things change when people get diagnosed, whether you want them to or not. They change.
Right.
They change for the whole
right.
family. And so it's important to open up that dialogue and that communication, not only for Thanksgiving and Christmas, for almost every time you go home and visit or every time you're together. So, you know, it, Margaret and I kind of looked at it when we were talking about it earlier, is giving support and asking for support and respecting each other's needs. So this goes both ways. So from the child perspective, it, you know, if I go home or I, you know, going home is stressful for me. Georgia is full of triggers. You know, it's,
right.
Especially if I were to go home on the holidays, because that's, you know, when I attempted suicide. So there's so much trauma surrounding it. So from my perspective, it, you know, when I go home, I need to have my needs, my coping skills available and for people to understand, okay, yeah, Chrissy needs to go for a run. Chrissy needs to get outside. Chrissy needs to, you know, doesn't want to do this. You know,
right.
like malls give me stress and anxiety. I don't want to go, like, to big crowded
right.
areas, things like that. So from
right.
a child perspective, it's a need in order to feel comfortable and not have the burden of the mental illness on top of everything else that's the stressor about Christmas.
Right.
So that's my
right.
perspective from being a child with a mental illness.
And as a parent's perspective, we also need that time, you know, and for me, Chrissy and I both are exercise. I need to go out and exercise. Super important for my mental health. I ride horses. It's super important for me to have that and enjoy that. And so in your traditions or in your, just when holidays hit, know that each, whether it's a family member, a parent, everybody needs their space. And what you said before, talk about it and say,
yeah.
Hey, tell me what would help you get through this. And if you're honest and you're open, then it will help make that. And I'm always made that very clear with, you know, I need to go for a run or I need to go ride my horse. And that's why I try to always with Riley be respectful for. Sometimes he needed away time. He needed to kind of shut down and be in his room. And that's okay.
Right. Well, and so... So I think that the bottom line for that question, which is, I think, a huge one, is support. Ask for support. Discuss support before you get home, before it's going to be, hey, there's going to be 20 people here for Christmas. Let's go ahead and get this out of the way. What is it that you're going to need for both sides, parents and kids? What can we do to support each other? It just gets it out of the way, and it helps remember that even in the chaos of Christmas, you're still an important member of the
right.
family. Despite the mental
yep.
illness. So I wanted to bring up another question that Margaret and I discussed, and this is one that I get all the time. I have it written down. So what do I do if my child gets mad and irritated when I bring up the diagnosis? I'm only trying to help, and it's only because I care. This is a really tricky topic, and this depends on the person. So, you know, a lot of people don't care and they're like, oh, whatever, bring it up. And I'd love to talk about it, but there are a lot of us. So from my perspective, there are a lot of us that, God, we feel so awful about having the illness. And we feel, you know, the stigma of having a mental illness when it comes to your parents and your family, whether you want it to or not, for some of us, it makes you feel like you're a disappointment. It makes you feel like you're a black sheep, you know, like the troubled child. You know, I often say, like, I bet my parents, when they found out I had a mental illness, were like, God, we should have stopped at one. And
yeah. Oh.
And I mean, the thing is that that's not anything that necessarily the parents have done. That's just kind of what comes with the territory of having a mental illness. So from my perspective on that question, what do I do if my child gets mad and irritated when I bring up the diagnosis? If they're getting mad and irritated when you bring it up, it could be how you're bringing it up. Maybe you're mm-hmm. using words that are triggering them. Maybe it has mm-hmm. nothing to do with you, and it has to do with their shame and guilt and embarrassment. So my advice on that is ask your child, you know, I really care about you, and I want to know the progress and the success you're having in managing the disorder. So what is a way that I can ask you and talk to you about what you're going through that isn't going to make you feel bad or feel stigmatized or feel like I'm being condescending? Because whether or not someone is being condescending, I'll tell you, we're pretty much always going to take it that way.
Right, and so. And that's a important point, because sometimes what we say, and I say that as a parent, you know, that's the last thing I'm thinking, to be condescending, but that might be how the person hears it, and that's important. To how do you make it understood that that's not, you know, that you love them and you're there for them. And even, like you say, anger is sometimes part of when you feel guilt and shame, which is so sad that that's what it is. But if you are feeling guilty and have shame, then sometimes it comes out as anger. And then as a parent, you're like, what have I done? Why are you angry at me? And mm-hmm. so the key is about communication, lots and lots of communication.
Yeah.
And I know as you're talking, Chrissy, as a child, or you're using that, and I as a parent, I mean, I think that's communication is so key in understanding each other.
Yeah.
I mean, the child understanding the parent. Yeah, because, I mean, I say as a parent, you know, my love for my children are unconditional, always have been and always will be. And we've talked about the addiction. I hated the addiction, but my love for my son was unconditional.
Right.
So as a parent, sometimes it's so hard to know what the right thing to do. Because at the end of the day, you just love them and you want them to be happy and you want them to be content with themselves and you want to have a relationship with them, et cetera, et cetera. And so it's hard to know, okay, what's the right thing to say or what's the, you know, to show them that love.
Yeah. So just ask.
Yeah,
it's something we don't think about, but it really is just ask, how do you want to communicate, or do you want to
exactly
communicate? And if your child says, I do not want to talk about my diagnosis at all for 6 months or a year, you gotta respect it. Because
gotta respect it.
I mean,
yeah,
yeah, it, because, you know, it takes a long time for us to process the personal stigma that sometimes, like, that constant reminder, you know, don't call up and be like, how's your bipolar today?
Right. Well, that's, and then on the other turn, know that when, because a parent is a child's safe haven, no matter what, they can be angry, they can be, and it's always that unconditional love, but know that when you turn and you're angry and you're you know, yelling and da 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 at your parent, you got to know that when they say, you know what, love you unconditionally, but I can't talk to you when you're this way.
Yes.
That's, you know, it's always a two-way street. And not that I had that much with Riley, but there were times when, you know, because of his frustration and his, you know, he was frustrated, he was shameful, he felt guilty, and so sometimes it came as anger. But I have to put down, for my well-being too, I have to say, you know what, want to talk, but can't talk when you're feeling this way.
Right. Boundaries. Setting those boundaries for both.
Yeah, setting boundaries both ways. It goes both ways, yes.
And so to move on, we have about 7 minutes left. We'll talk about one more thing that Margaret and I thought would be a really great thing to address. My personal favorite topic, which is stigma. Stigma moving into the holidays is rampant for people who have mental illness. So I'll just say from my side of things, you know, a lot of people have traditions where they're going to be with all of their family. They're going to be with extended family that they haven't seen for years, you know, or they haven't seen all year. Typically in families, people know what's going on. People hear, if someone's been diagnosed, if someone's had a suicide attempt, been hospitalized, you know, it gets trickled around the family. So one of the things that are really tough for people with mental illness is having to go into a situation where they know that everybody knows that they're mentally ill, even if they're stable and living in recovery. That stigma it just penetrates everything, and it's palpable. So from a kid's perspective, I would say make sure to protect and communicate with your kid about it. You know, talk to them about the stigma before they go in. Meaning, you know, is it okay that we're going to be with family? You know, or if the topic of mental illness ever comes up, if people make jokes about mental illness in front of your kid, like, be that, you know, go
be that advocate for them.
And be, you know, I hate to say hypervigilant because that's not a positive word, but, you know, be really vigilant about what your kid's going through when it comes to stigma. Chances are they're not going to talk to you about it because they're going to be too embarrassed.
Exactly.
But, if you know, check in with them and just be like, you know, I heard what Uncle Joe said today when he said that, you know, two people have to be mentally ill. What do you think about that? You want to go have a conversation with him together. You know, just be supportive and vigilant of what your child's going through, because chances are they're struggling not only to manage the illness because they don't want their symptoms to come out in front of the family, but they're also struggling with, does my family think I'm nuts?
Right.
Is my family ashamed and embarrassed of me? So that's something else that we deal with that probably not a lot of people are aware of. So that's my
right. Yeah, and I can say on the parent's perspective, I'm very aware of that. I mean, you know, when you have, you know, I'm very sensitive to what people say because I live it. I live it with them. And so I always say be so sensitive as a parent to your child. And you're right. If Uncle Joe's saying something, first you can take Uncle Joe aside and say, hey, you know what? Let me tell you what this feels like. And and then talk to your child. Say, I heard what Uncle Joe, you know, you want to talk about that? And if they don't, that's okay. And just say, I'm here for you. I'm always here for you. So that way your child knows you do have they have an advocate.
Yeah. There's so many other, you know, things that come up, but I think that those are really four basic things. And from both our perspective, we're pretty much on the same page, which is just communicate, have empathy and understanding for both sides. It's not easy for either one. So I'm just going to kind of say some final words, and then Margaret, I'll let you kind of wrap us up. We have a little over 2 minutes, I think, left. Oh, we have around 3 minutes. So, you know, just kind of signing off from my perspective is, you know, managing a mental illness is so hard anyway, and it brings so many different factors. It's not just one emotional symptoms that can really pull the rug out from under you. Going into the holidays, it's like bees singing you, you know, that you can't get away. So the best environment for someone who has a mental illness to go into is one that's already set up for support. It's a free-flowing conversation of what do you need and how can I support you to get that. And then whatever that person does need, let them have that, but also communicate the importance for what you need as a parent and as a family member and support system. This is what I need too. That way you're both set up for success. So from my end, I hope that you have a great holiday. If you have any other questions from our perspective, please email me at ocd.chrisfie@gmail.com, and you can get both of our input. And we hope that you have a good holiday. Margaret, why don't you round us up for us and give us a little inspiration while we wrap up?
Yeah, thank you. And first of all, thank listeners. I know the holidays can be hard either way as a parent or somebody that struggles with mental health. Take care of yourself. Be kind to yourself. That's what's important. It's okay, no change traditions, et cetera, but be kind to yourself. And each year you can build other things that are important to you, but most of all, take care of yourself. And I wish everybody a happy, happy holiday. And Chrissy and I can go on forever, but please, if anybody has any questions or comments, please send them to Chrissy and we can go further. And if there's particular things that you want to address, we're here. So thank you and happy holidays to you, Chrissy.
Thank you very much. Happy holidays to you and all of the listeners. And thank you for tuning in to Mental Illness Matters Radio here at blogtalkradio.com. We'll see you next week with another topic relevant to mental illness. Give us 30 minutes. We'll give you a new perspective on mental illness.